Welcome to Jay Bahada, the author of Deadly Waters, an investigation into Somali piracy. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning.
What's daily life for the pirates in Somalia like?
They generally get up at about noon, 1 o'clock maybe, just in time for the cot transports to come in. Cot is a narcotic drug that's imported from Ethiopia and Kenya, and it's chewed religiously by the pirates. Their days are spent around chewing this drug, if they have the money. Their money runs out very quickly. It's constantly sapped dry by their friends and relatives. They may end up having a few months of enhanced living, I guess you can call it that.
What about the money that they receive from the ransoms and from the piracy that they carry out in the Gulf of Aden? Where does this cash go to?
There's about 30 key investors in Puntland, which is the region I was in, northern Somalia, in that region and in a region just south of Puntland, where really all the piracy is focused. And these businessmen will generally, when they invest in a mission, will contract it out to a group of 50 to 150 men, generally their clan members and relatives. And those businessmen take 50% right off the top. You have many different roles in a gang: accountants, translators, guards, attackers. Those lower down really don't make as much money as is portrayed in the media. And when I was in Somalia, I found that the guards, they made about $10 an hour.
For the pirates, how concerned are they about the work of the EU naval force?
Not really. I mean, it's sort of contemptuous of international naval forces is the sense I got. I mean, one pirate told me, we don't care about them, they're not going to stop us. They have different opinions on different naval forces. So they hate the French, because the French have been traditionally very aggressive against pirates. There was the Tani, a yacht that captured, and then the French government just ordered a commando operation. So they hate the French. They hate the Indians. The Indians were responsible for a mistaken incident where they blew a fishing ship out of the water and killed all hands on board. And I think this story made the rounds very quickly. So they're aware of what's going on, what the different international forces are doing. They certainly have their opinions on one or the other. But the sense I got when talking to them is that it wasn't a big factor in their decision to go out or not.
Do they have an opinion on what's going on the ground in terms of the Somali transitional federal government?
I think that's part of the problem of dealing with Somali piracy is the international community, just because of inertia, continues to deal with a government that essentially now has reached the end of its mandate, has been extended, but over the course of its mandate, it hasn't even been able to, it's been bogged down in creating a draft constitution. I mean, it's not in control of any part of the country. It's sort of caught up in a fantasy world, and the international community has bought into this idea that the federal government actually more than just a name, which it isn't. Perpetuation of this farce has really, I believe, is one of the contributing factors that led to the explosion of piracy, because Puntland is an autonomous region where piracy really exploded in 2008. That explosion partially happened because Puntland ran out of money to pay for its security forces, because all aid goes to the transitional government. There's no bilateral aid really to Puntland or these other regions in Somalia which are autonomous and where piracy has flourished. In terms of what the pirates think about it, they didn't really have that strong political sense at all. They live very local lives. They're not too concerned with what's going on in the south of Somalia.
So after spending time with the Somali pirates, in your opinion, what's the way forward?
The overemphasis on supporting the federal government partially, I think, led to piracy. I think reversing this sort of trend of support, at least recognizing the autonomous regions in the country and supporting their growth and their development, is the way to start trying to reverse the piracy trend. I think it's going to be incredibly difficult. And in my book, I offer a partial solution, essentially setting up coastal garrisons in Puntland first as an experiment. As I mentioned, there's other regions where piracy is flourishing. But Puntland is a semi-stable state within a state with a semi-functioning government. I think setting up just police task forces, coastal garrisons along the coast, equipped with radar stations, high-frequency radio. In the medium term, you need to build basic roads between these stations, because one thing that people don't realize when they ask me, you know, why doesn't the Puntland government do anything about this, is there's one road running through all of northern Somalia, one paved road, and it takes 7-8 hours to get to the coast from central Puntland where the troops are located in all-terrain vehicles. One of my suggestions is to create a pirate tip hotline, because the pirates are absolutely hated in the local communities. So you want people who see a pirate loading off and preparing to launch a mission into the ocean outside their window. You want those people to call in and inform and, you know, offer small rewards, $50 to $100. But essentially, in a nutshell, I think that a solution on land has to deal with these autonomous regions and not the federal government.
Thank you to Jay Bahada, the author of Deadly Waters.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.